Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
It is wonderful to be back with you, church. Cass and I got back last Saturday from a couple of weeks in the US, and we attended a conference and checked out a couple of churches there. And it is wonderful to see what God is doing just beyond even what we see here, or even beyond this state or this country even. God is moving in the world. God is moving in many, many places. And we can be really, really encouraged by that. And we went and we were inspired and encouraged, and we're ready to come back and ask the question again of God, what do you want to do next? What do you want to do in us? And what do you want to do in this ministry of Life Ministry Church next? And I am excited for what God has for us in the future. I don't know about you, but I am certainly excited about what God has for us in the future. I want to give you an update from the Amari Work Party. I got a message from Graham and Chris back, and we've got some photos to share with you as well. They left last week as well. And it says this: "Hi, church family. The team are all going very well and enjoying the experience of living in Africa with all of the difficulties that entails. We are only living like this for a few weeks, but it makes us realize how blessed we are to live in Australia. As we see Marita's everyday life here, we know that she has a real call from God to give up the things that she could have to give these precious children in Uganda a future and an education that they would not otherwise have had. Pete has been amazing and is loved by the kids. His teaching and ministry, our kids pastor is over there, has certainly been well received, and the children have learnt the stories he has told them about God and the salvation message. It is so lovely to hear them repeating the words he has taught them. Our prayer now is that God will continue to water the seeds that have been sown, and real fruit will be seen in the years to come. A lot has been achieved by the team in a very short time. Jess, Joe, Sonia, Michaela and Liv have been invaluable to Pete, teaching the kids alongside Pete and reinforcing the teaching with fun games, craft, conversations and interaction. A lot of hours in the classroom and preparation for them all. Matt and Rob have extended the water main, which now covers the whole of the property, and fixed many other plumbing issues. They also played soccer with the winning team against the students. A lot of fun. Gray and Dolph have fixed the solar system and have it up and running perfectly again. 4 years since it's been serviced. It's been over 3 years since our work party has been over to Amari. They also fixed the water pump and the solar system there, and there is now flowing water across the property again. Cooks Chris and Jill and chefs Duncan and Julia have provided delicious meals every day for the team and managed to fill Marita's freezer with lots of goodies for when the team leave. And if anybody's looking forward to going to Amari next time, if Duncan and Julie are going, you will be fed. Well, you can look forward to that. And Chris and Jill as well. Mick has painted and painted and painted in the heat up ladders all day, a mammoth effort on his part. And the place is looking sharp again. Rob has stepped in also to help where he can. Ross has serviced the tractor and the two generators, and they are all in good working order again. Duncan has taken photos of each of the students and the staff, a huge task with over 400 pictures to take. Enjoy the photos, which will show you a little of what is happening on the ground here at Amari. She says, thank you for all your generous support of this amazing ministry and community. To see firsthand the lives being molded and changed is such a great reward. God bless you all. Love, Gray and Chris. And if you want to follow the trip, you can join the Facebook page, LMC Amari Work Party 2023, where they keep the photos up to date. Isn't it wonderful to see what they're achieving over there and what God is doing? Yeah, let's thank the Amari team. Well done, guys. Well done. And we look forward to seeing you back in church as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time we get to spend here in church. We thank you for that it is not a mistake that each one of us are sitting here in church today. We thank you that you have a plan and you have a purpose for each one of us. And Father, as we open your word again today, we thank you that it will come alive. Lord, we thank you that we are alive because you gave your life for us. And Jesus, there is a hope and a future for every single one of us. So have your way in us, Lord God. Let the word that is planted in us, the seeds that are planted, bring forth fruit, Lord God, that you would have it done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We come around this phrase this year up on our walls over there, pursuing Jesus. That life is a journey for every single one of us, no matter what's brought you to church today, no matter whether you have a relationship with God or not, we are all on a life journey. And as a follower of Christ, as a Christian, we have made a decision to, we have found Jesus, But we are on this journey continually of pursuing Jesus. And each one of us are engaged in that journey if we have made a decision to find him. It's the nature of what it is to pursue Jesus. And King David encapsulates this at the start of Psalm 63, which we have on the wall as well. In the wilderness, he says this, "O God, you are my God, I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you." And I love that terminology, my whole body longs for you. And when I consider my own relationship with God, my own relationship with Jesus, that is what I see happening to me. Or that's what I want to be doing actively. I just want to be throwing my whole body into what it is to be a follower of Christ. Because giving him our all is the answer to everything else in life. It helps reorder everything that we're going through, making Jesus number one in our lives. And I want to encourage you to stir up your hunger for him afresh. Perhaps now it's August and you've made some decisions at the start of the year about growing in your walk with him and maybe haven't done too much about it, or maybe you've gone the journey and you're doing great. Today is a fresh day. Today is a new start. Tomorrow is a new day, a new opportunity for us to continue to grow, for us to continue to pursue Jesus. That is the beautiful part about the Christian journey, about our walk with God, that every day is another opportunity to grow closer to him. Do I get an amen from anybody? Has anybody got revelation of that? Each day is a fresh opportunity to grow in our walk with him. And so since the halfway point of the year, God has led me to preach on a few of the evidences of our pursuits. The way that I've said it is there's the directional markings, the posts on the wall that are pointing us to make sure that as we go past them, we are heading in the right direction on our pursuit. Does my life look like one of a person that's pursuing Jesus? And it's not just the front facing. Man, we love kids. Like, come on. Like, we love kids. We really do. And I want to, like, take that opportunity. I'm not sure who that was, but if you've got a child in church, keep bringing them to church. We've got to be okay with being a little bit inconvenienced by a child in church, right? Come on. Like that's our attitude. I grew up as a kid sleeping under the, I mean, not in morning church, maybe in night church, just sleeping under the chairs in church, just growing up. You cannot underestimate what it is to continue to have your kids in church. And even for parents who are here, this is not in my notes, even for parents who are here and you drop your kids off to church every Sunday morning, kids' church is amazing. But having your kids in church on a Sunday night is great as well. They get to experience what it is to simply be in church and be in worship with us up here. And that's why we have kids in church on school holidays. We love them to experience this, what we're doing. So if you're a parent, never feel embarrassed to bring your kids to church. And if they're crying, we have grace for you. Most of us have been there, all right? We have grace for you. Do I get an amen from the older parents in the place? We are church family. So at the beginning of July, we looked at this virtue, this quality of humility. Humility is a feature of a life that is lived for Jesus. It's a signpost. And then after that, we looked at the key to happiness, that God wants us to be happy in life. And the key is wisdom. The Bible's instruction to us is to simply get wisdom. And today I want to look at another one of those signposts, and that's the signpost of generosity. And I have titled this message today, Open-Handed Living. If you're writing notes or if you've got it, your phone open and you want to write something down, write that down, Open-Handed Living. I want to give you a tip on your phone as well. If you're using an iPhone, I know iPhone, maybe Android has the same thing. There is a setting where you can do not disturb, or you can actually shut down all notifications in your phone. If you're trying to read the Bible or you're trying to write notes on your phone, engage that setting so that you don't get the notifications that pop up. Tip for free for you. So, generosity. This is actually at the core of who we are, or we aspire to be, as a church. The name of our church is Life Ministry Church. And from that comes our mission statement, which is living and ministering Christ. We are living Christ. We are living for him. He is first. And then we are ministering Christ to the world around us. And really, our answer to the question that people ask, why do I exist? What is my purpose here in life? Is those two things. We are living and we are ministering Christ. And it's the ministering Christ part where this aspect of generosity actually needs to have a huge part, has a huge part to play. It's our dealings with others that need to be infused with generosity. And so as with the other signposts and as with other questions that we have about how to apply this to our lives, we need to ask the question, what does the Bible say? What does it say about generosity? It actually says a lot, to be honest, about generosity and giving, which are nearly always linked when they're talked about in the Word of God. So I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. CB, you've got your paper Bible down there. You can turn in there. Or you can keep using your phone. It's up to you. Can't do two things. Multitasking, a bit difficult for many of us. You're right. 2 Corinthians 9. And while you're turning to that, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. I always love to look at a little bit of word study in the Bible. How many words are there for certain topics in the Word of God? And it's interesting when it comes to this. The word believe. Believe, obviously, an important one to the Christian faith. And I've got these on the screen. Believe comes up 424 times in the Word of God. What about the word pray? Pray comes up 436 times. That's an important one, yes? What about the word love? Love actually comes into the Bible in my New Living Translation 759 times. You'd think that, yes, that's a massive one, of course, love. But then give actually comes in 1,728 times. Now, I acknowledge the fact that you can't always go, well, that's that many number in the Bible, so that's the equivalent of how important it is. Because when you think about the word and, we think about the word the, there are many of those in the Bible. However, this is an accurate indication of the importance to this, of giving and the aspect of giving and generosity, because they are God-instituted parts of life. And I want to be clear before we start, if you think about where this message might be going, this is not a money message today. And if money is the only thing that we take away when it comes to generosity, then we're missing the point. It certainly is part of it, but we're missing the point if we think that's all of what it's about. So here, let's read in 2 Corinthians 9. Paul is writing here to the church that he started in Corinth, which is Greece today, who were wealthy people. They were high flyers, and they needed some reminders about giving and generosity. They were well on their way, but he needed to remind them that this is an evidence. Giving and generosity is an evidence of the transformative work of Christ that has happened in your life. That if we have become a Christian and made that decision to put Jesus first in our lives, then giving and generosity is part of the evidence that that has actually occurred in us. And there are a lot of those things that, yes, God has done the work, there's a transformative work done on the inside, and then how is that now being outworked in the way that we live, by the way that we think, by the way that we speak, and by the way that we act? So let's read from verse 6. It says, remember this, a farmer who plants only seeds will get a small crop, a few seeds, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly in response to pressure. Why? For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. Verse 10. For, underline this, God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of what? Harvest of generosity in you. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, number one. And number two, they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace that God has given you. Thank God for this gift too wonderful for words. The motive, the heart behind generosity we show others is this. That number one, that God will be glorified. Number one, that God will be glorified. And number two, that others would be blessed. That is the motivation. And the Bible makes it abundantly clear when it comes to generosity, the heart behind it matters. Though some have ulterior motives, behind generosity, nothing is hidden from God. The heart matters. And so establishing that, I'm going to look at two different parts today. Number one, what are the characteristics? What does a generous person look like? And then secondly, how is that outworked, or how could it be outworked in our lives? So, characteristics of a generous person. Number one, write it down. Generous people are full of joy. Full of joy. 2 Corinthians 9:7, we read, "For God loves a person who gives cheerfully." You and I have been hardwired by God for certain things. And I think we have been hardwired to enjoy generosity. He didn't force it upon us. This is not an instruction that needs to be difficult for us, because it feels good. And I was thinking about, I don't know if I should say, but like married couples who have kids, like making kids, like God didn't need to make it feel the way that it does. But hey, we are thankful for it. Do I hear an amen from anybody? You can say amen, parents. Yeah, like, okay. Similar to generosity. I don't know if I can tie that together or not, but generosity. God didn't make it need to feel good for us to be generous. However, he did. If you've ever been generous or you have been given to someone, you know the way that it makes you feel. Cass and I are always looking for opportunities to teach our kids biblical principle and Christ-like character, not just by the words that we say, but giving them active examples of that. And about a couple of months ago, Cass graduated. She graduated into the category of adults that have a 4 at the start of their age. She turned 40 a few months ago. Us immature 30-somethings, you know, we're still catching up. But for her 40th, immaturity is right here, right now. It's on display. Amen, she says. But for her 40th, we try to do things kind of as a family. We get together and just make memories as a family, as opposed to doing something big and extravagant. And we did make some memories just with our immediate family. We have 3 young kids, 11, 9, and 4. And we decided we'd go out on a trip, and we decided to do a bit of a scavenger hunt around the number 40. And so we searched and we looked for the number 40 on a house, and we went and found 40 seashells and 40 gum nuts, and we had a 40-meter running race, and we tried to find 40 green Skittles. We had to buy some Skittles to find them. And then M&Ms it was. And then we decided to, one of them was to give away 40 chocolate bars. And so we drove to the shops and we went and bought 40 blocks of chocolate from the shops and put them in the car and took them on our way to the beach where we found these seashells. And so they were just random ideas that were coming to our head. And so having the kids there, we wanted to encourage them in this. And it took them a little bit of time because it's strangers that you're given this chocolate bar to. And so little bit by little bit, they warmed up to the idea of giving someone a chocolate bar, and whether at the park or driving along out the window. And we had towards the end, Roman was he's in the car. He can't see that much out of the window. And we're driving along, and there was someone walking there, and he sees the opportunity. Window comes down, the chocolate bar, he says, "My mum's 40, have a chocolate." Random. The person graciously accepted that. But the point, I know, funny, isn't it? It was a funny moment. It's my mum's 40th, have chocolate. A couple of weeks went by and we talked about that day that we had, and I asked whether they wanted to do something similar to that, to their birthday. And I said, why? What was so great? What was the thing that you did most or the greatest joy that you had on that day? And without fail, all 3 of them said, we loved giving out the chocolate. We loved giving that to people. It was the joy that people received, had on their faces. It's a block of chocolate, right? It's so simple, and yet it brought so much joy. I remember preaching on the fact that I love cereal and Fruit Loops one time in church. And that night, someone, and they're here today, you know who it is, and they brought me a box of Fruit Loops. What a simple thing, and potentially quite silly. It meant so much to me. Oh, my goodness. It was lovely. It's like, please don't bring me any more Fruit Loops. All right. But those simple things, it doesn't cost much. It doesn't need to be extravagant. Simple generosity can make such a difference in people's lives. Let me move on. God hardwired us to enjoy being generous. Acts 20:35 says this. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. God has made you to benefit from having a spirit of generosity about what you do. That's why it feels good to do something good for someone else. And I know our team at Amari feel the same way. They go to be a blessing to others, but they come back. They feel so blessed as they come back and they have served. Proverbs 11:24. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. And to clarify, when it comes, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. It doesn't mean that there is a greater wealth at your disposal. It's not a greater capacity with regard to material possession. The generous world gets larger and larger is because there are more and more people who actually enjoy being around you. There's a greater influence that comes as we lean into that generosity in a good way. Secondly, generous people, they think they instead of me. Generous people think others before themselves. They have compassion for others. The Bible talks about this a lot. Proverbs 29:7. The godly care about the rights of the poor. The wicked don't care at all. In 2 Corinthians 9:9, which we read, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. That block of chocolate would have been gone in about 5 minutes for some of those people. And yet that good deed has the potential to be remembered forever. And what we're doing and what the team are doing at Amari at the moment, maybe painting, maybe fixing a solar panel, maybe rerouting the water, but they are acts of generosity that have the potential to have everlasting consequences as it opens the door for us to have a conversation about the hope that we have in the future to those around us. Don't underestimate what a simple act of generosity or a large one can make in the difference of someone's eternal life. How is it that by being others focused that we are in turn blessed? Because it's not about the stuff that we get back in return. I'll say it this way. One of the greatest gifts that you can get from a lifestyle of generosity is a growth in selflessness. Because generosity, I wrote this down, generosity works selfishness out of our lives. We serve a God who is himself generous in his giving towards us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, say it with me, he gave his one and only son. For us to live a generous life is for us to live a life modeled after our Father in heaven. So thirdly, generous people, what are they? They are blessed. There's an important grounding, when I talk about this, important grounding to this teaching on generosity, necessary. This must be taught with balance. And you may have heard it before, might have even been in other churches or people talking about it this way, that giving is essentially a formula to getting. Give to get. If you want to see blessing in your life, the way to that blessing is to give. But that message is unfortunately missing the whole point of this teaching. It is avoiding an acknowledgement of what is truly motivating our generosity and our giving. We need to ask ourselves the question, is my generosity motivated by God or is it motivated by self? Am I giving for my own benefit or am I giving for God's? Motive matters, church. Motive matters. God looks not just at the hands that are giving, but he looks at the heart that is giving as well. That said, blessing is bestowed upon those who are generous. Proverbs 22:9, blessed are those who are generous. Why? Because they feed the poor. Luke 6:38, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount that you give will determine the amount that you get back. God has abundant blessing to pour out on his children. Generous people are blessed. But let us never forget from whom that blessing comes and what the purpose of that blessing is. 2 Corinthians 9:10-11. We read it. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer, then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a harvest of generosity in you. This is a key point to this teaching here. A harvest of generosity. It can be easy for us to read that sometimes and stop after the word harvest. And if we are generous and if we give, then it will reap a great harvest in us. But it's important that we are able to define what that harvest and articulate what that harvest actually is. A harvest of generosity. As we give, and as it's turned around to us in blessing, what do we do with that? We give, which is then turned around into blessing. Why? So that we can give and continue to be generous. That is the cyclical nature, the cyclical nature of generosity. It is the purpose, not that we give so that we can get what we want so that we can then build our own lives. We give, then through God's order, we receive so that then we can then give again. That is the heart. That is the right heart motive for us to have. Blessed to be a blessing. So some of the characteristics of someone who is generous. Now, how can we become generous? And I hope this is challenging but encouraging to you at the same time. Is this all right? Are we good? We're hearing this today? Bump someone next to you and say, that is a generous head of hair that you have right there. Don't lie. I'm not encouraging you to lie. If it's not true, it's not true, it's not true. All right. Shake that off. All you bald people, shake that off. It's okay. It's okay. God knows every hair of your head, even if they're only two. Every. 30-something. I haven't said hi to the people online. Hello, everyone. Welcome for watching online today. Can we welcome everyone watching online? We are thankful that you've joined us for church today. It really matters that you take the time, and I hope that this is engaging for you as well. All right, how can we become generous? First thing is this, write it down. First thing is time. Time. You cannot gain more of this. There is a finite amount for every single one of us. You have the same moments of time as the person sitting next to you, whether they are a lot or whether they are few. You have the same moments right now and right now and right now, the same moment. It is the most precious thing you own is your time. And in turn, being generous with our time reveals a lot about who or what is our priority. How can we be generous with our time? Well, firstly, I want to encourage you to be present. Be present when you need to be present. We live in a day and age where there are screens that are all around us. And it can be so easy for us when we are with someone to be present but not present. You know what I'm saying, don't you? And so we need to be intentional about that. That we are being generous with our time because I'm looking you in the eye and I'm giving you the time that you need in this portion. So be present. Secondly, to invest time into relationships. The way that we do that, Chris has already talked about it, is through our life groups. I love to hear, as Chris already said, I love to hear the content that's being spoken about in life groups. I love to hear about what people are doing, but I love most of all to hear about the relationships that are being developed. And for us here, I want to thank and honor our life group leaders. They are the ones who are being most generous with their time in leading our groups. And thank you, life group leaders, for all that you are doing. Keep it up. It's making a difference. And for those who are attending life groups, a wonderful thing for you to invest your time into that, to be generous with your time, to be generous with what God has been doing in you, to be able to share that through a life group. Chris talked about the support network to Dan, to the Tonkin family, that the life group has been this week. Time has gone into that from the life group members to actually say, mate, we are thinking about you right now. What is there that we can do? Be generous with our time with one another. And if you're not in a life group, and I know seasons and different things make it harder for us, but be generous. I want to encourage you, be generous with your time that you're invested into other members of the church here as well, and even those outside of that too. Thirdly, God wants daily time with you. And I almost didn't include this into this part of the message about being generous with our time because I don't actually believe that our time with God is an aspect of our generosity. More the other way, that it is a generous God that allows us to have as much time we want with him in the first place. God is omnipresent, meaning that he is everywhere all the time and available to us. And it is God's gift of his omnipresence to us that reveals his generosity to us. You do not need to get online and to book a schedule, book a time with God. There's not a half an hour slot that God has with you at different points in the week, because he's going to be with someone else at another time. God is a generous God in that he wants to give you all the time that you desire, and really all the time absolutely with you. He is a generous God. So number one is our time. Number two, how can we be generous? With our words. Be generous with our words. Words can build someone up and they can break someone down. And I want to encourage you to be generous with your words. Ephesians 4:29 says it this way. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. That is applicable to every single one of us. What was the first one? What was the first one? How to be generous? Tell me. Someone call it out. Time. What was the second one? Words. Exactly. How can you be generous with your words? Husbands, to your wives. How can you be generous? Sally, why are you laughing? Is it? How to be generous with your words towards that person next to you? How can you be generous? What are you laughing at, Chris? Have you got an idea? Have you got a suggestion for us? How can you be generous with your words to your wife? You're gorgeous, he says. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for their generous words towards me, CB. Parents to your kids. How can we be generous with our words to our kids? I always look for, and again, look for that opportunity to sow life into my children. Yes, they might be getting a lot of things not as well as I would like, but I want to encourage you. I want to actually build you up instead of cutting you down with my words. We had the pleasure of attending Youth Alive last night to see so many kids, and Dave will talk about that in just a few minutes. But to see those, to see life reinserted into so many kids last night because of the words that were sown, the words of Christ that called them out of where they were. But just the same, there are so many young people within our communities that have lost their lives. And I'm not talking about lost their lives physically, but lost their lives because someone has sowed words, someone has shared words with them, which has cut them down, which has made them think so much less of themselves, and they end up walking down a path that is not positive. And we have the opportunity as the body of Christ to share the words of truth, the words of Jesus to the community around us, especially for our young people. Let me remind you again, our encouraging word to someone is something that won't cost you a thing, but is something that could potentially save someone's life. That is how big it can be. And so let's be people that are generous with our words, building up those around us. God himself is generous to us with his words. What does Jesus say in Matthew 10:29-31? What is the price of two sparrows? One copper coin, but not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Be generous with your words, church. The last one is this, and we're going to close in a few minutes. The last one is, of course, our resources. Be generous with our time, be generous with our words, and generous with our resources. Our finances, our possessions, whatever God has blessed us with materially, we can be generous with that. And every Sunday in church, have you got that giving slide there for us? Thanks, Annalise. Every Sunday in church, we show this slide about our giving here at church. And we say something like this. Thank you, church, for your obedience to God with regard to your giving. And we don't make a big deal about it, but we simply want to show you the ways that you can live out that obedience as stated in the Word of God. And I want to just take the opportunity to thank you, church. Thank you so much. For those who have been in the church for a long time, for those who have been here just a short time, for your faithfulness with regard to your obedience. And we don't, it's not about us standing up here and compelling people to give. That's not the heart that we want people to give from. It is a heart that says, God, you are first in my life. And I understand this is an obedience step to you. You are first in my life, and I want to show that, reveal that to you by my generosity with regard to my giving. You know, prior to COVID coming along, we used to send buckets down the aisles here in church. We used to say something like this: the first bucket that comes, because there was two buckets, the first bucket that comes past is for our tithe, which goes to the work of the ministry of this house. And then we would send the second bucket down, not because the first bucket didn't get enough in it, but because there was a principle that was trying to be taught at this place. And the second bucket is for a free will offering, which you can designate using an envelope, or you can simply put it in there for it to be used where most needed. And the reason there was two buckets was not because, again, we needed another one, but because there was the principle of the tithe and the principle of the offering. See, the tithe was taught in the Old Testament, tithe literally meaning a tenth. That's where we get 10% tithe from. And the other important principle was that it was always first. The importance of this principle cannot be understated. That it was the first. It was the first of the flock that was given, or it was the first of the grain that was taken in. The first was given to God. Because it was the first fruit, exactly. It was the first fruit. It reflected to God, again, who was first. And it was an act of faith. Because there was not always a guarantee of what was actually coming next or what was going to come after that. It was the first fruit that was giving. In fact, when you collate all the different offerings given throughout the parts of the Old Testament, it would come to about 23%. Not the 10%, it was 23% that they were giving. And how we see that now through the lens of the New Testament is the tithe is like, that's not the generous part. That's the obedience portion. But the giving, that's where the generosity comes in. As the Holy Spirit leads us, or as we make a plan to be generous in that area. And you can apply that to all the different things that we talked about today as well. Luke 12:48. When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. There's no denying that we are a blessed people when it comes to our resource. Even with rising living costs and all that sort of stuff, we are a blessed people. One of the conversations that Cass and this is not, I don't know what the word is. I was going to say tooting our own trumpet. Does that work? You know what I'm saying? But conversations we had over the last 5 or 10 years is around this area of giving and generosity and making a point of it in our budget. And we say it this way, that we budget generosity. Whenever we set up our budget, the first thing that comes into there is our tithe. This is yours. This does not get touched. It is the first thing. And the principle of that first, this is the way that we see it and the way that we teach it here, is that this is the gross amount. This is the 100% complete. This is before because the government can slug anything they want on it. But this is before that. This is the first fruits. This is the first that is coming to you. The second part that we budget is the generosity part. It's the giving. And it's for us, we use a percentage as well, and we just put a percentage in place and whatever fluctuates. And the challenge becomes, well, the good part of it is when a need arises, we have already been budgeted to be able to be a blessing and to meet that need. It's already there. It's not a real hard challenge at that point. We have pre-decided. There is a real power in making pre-decisions in the things that the Word of God instructs us to do. Pre-decision about the way that we operate our finances. Pre-decisions with regard to the way that we raise our kids. Pre-decisions about even the parties that we might let them go to, or the friends that we allow them to have. We have pre-decided in a moment because we know what we want the outcome to be. It's the best of our ability, but by God's grace. And the generosity is one of those as well. And to be honest, that can be tested sometimes. And that's, I think, a test that God allows to happen in our lives of when the living costs arise. Are we going to decide that the quality of our lifestyle, I know this is challenging, and hear it whatever way God, God looks at your heart. When lifestyle challenges arise and living costs rise? Are we going to make a decision that we are going to maintain a certain lifestyle and decrease generosity? Or are we going to continue to be generous and we're just going to turn things down where they need to be turned down? That is the decision that we all are going to make at different points throughout our lives. Who comes first? And I don't know about you, but I want the world around us to know. I want people that we come in contact, a church here as a church, and us as individuals, to know that we are generous people, not just because we hear an instruction that says be generous, but we are generous with you because we have a God who has been generous with us. The love that He has shown us, the grace that He has given every single one of us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The eyes of love that He has for every single one of you are so wide and so large. Is a generous God that gave His one and only Son to die for us that we might live. And we pre-decide that we're going to be a generous people, generous with our time, generous with our finance, generous with our words. And so I want to ask you today, and remember the motivation, that God would be glorified, that others would be blessed. Will we leave this place and will we be an open-handed people, or will we be a tight-fisted people in all of these areas? And I want to encourage you, let's be a church that makes a difference in our community because we have decided to be open-handed people. The fruit of that generosity is going to be people coming to know the love of the Father. You know, speaking about generosity, there are so many people who served at Youth Alive last night. And they are young people and, you know, it takes a lot to put... Dave, why don't you come up and I want to invite Dave, just as we close, to give us all some encouragement and a little bit of a snapshot of what God is doing. This is a snapshot, right? This is a small part of what God is doing in the lives of the youth in Victoria at the moment. Dave helps lead Youth Alive in Victoria and is a key part of their team. So thank you, mate. Share with us.
Thank you, Andy. How good is this message? Seriously.
Good, mate.
We love you, Andy.
Thanks,
really
mate.
Do, mate. And
thanks,
and Cass as well. We love you.
Appreciate it, mate.
Gee, last night was an amazing night. And really, it is a generous event. I mean, we talk about words, we talk about resources, and we talk about time. And I was really proud as an LMC guy. I work for Youth Alive, but really proud as an LMC guy, just that, you know, everywhere I looked, there were our crew, our frontliners, all our youth, just in the mosh pit, getting sweaty. So good. And then up on the banks, they were up there as well. And then I looked around, there's all these LMC blokes. I looked in the mosh pit and there was Gavin Fox, you know, just trying to stop all these wild Werribee kids from killing our young ones. And big, tall Daniel was just, I'm not sure if Daniel's here, but he's about 7 foot tall. And he was smack bang in the middle of the mosh pit, just trying to keep us all safe. Matty Burt did 25,000 steps yesterday, just running, just was in charge of pretty much everything. Holly ran the whole thing, the whole LMC thing by herself, which I'm sure was, you know, pretty amazing. So we were right there in the thick of it. In fact, LMC was, I think, the third biggest youth ministry represented. There was 5,000 kids there, 5,000 young people there. Crammed into Festival Hall. Who's been a festie before? Floors are just as sticky, I'm happy to report. But we packed it, absolutely packed it. It was full, every single seat was full. And probably, maybe a couple of hundred, yeah, there's a picture from the back of the stage. And maybe even a couple of hundred having to stand. It was just phenomenal. And then the word was preached, the worship was beautiful. The praise was wild, but the worship was beautiful. The word was preached about Zacchaeus. And I mean, what a great tie-in of generosity. Little Zacchaeus, who felt unseen, but Jesus saw him and had dinner with a sinner. And then just to see this enormous response, huge response, maybe... Well, we know that there was 900 that responded, young people, but we may have lost a few on the way because it was pretty insane. And then to walk outside and again see strangers, people I don't know, just praying with kids and stop it. To praying with kids and leading kids to Jesus and just knowing that this is an event that comes about because, like Psalm 133 says, brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. When churches of every denomination, you know, from Bapos to Church of Christ to Salvos to Pentes, ACC, everyone gets together and celebrates Jesus. And we could see this beautiful moment where literally hundreds and hundreds of kids rededicate their life to Jesus or make a first-time decision for Jesus. It is immense. And so I just want to encourage you. Thank you for releasing Matt, Liam, who's down in kids this morning. Liam was there at 8 in the morning, left at, I don't even know, midnight. You know, you are really active. And even if you weren't there, our church is so active and was so involved and so generous in what we give to see God move in this state. So I really want to thank you from Youth Alive, but also I want to encourage you that God is at work. Yeah. You should have seen these kids, like all these wild little African kids and all kids from Dandenong and kids from everywhere just loving Jesus and going nuts in it. And God is at work. So thank you so much. Keep being generous because last night is done. But today is here. And this is your opportunity. Please don't have a heart that says, oh, that's great for the young people. What about my age? This is your moment. This is your moment to reach your neighbours and your friends and strangers. You get about it this week. Use the inspiration of the generosity of all those young people and all the others who made it happen and make it happen in your world. Can we do that? Can I pray? Is that good?
Yeah, man.
Come on, let's close our eyes. Father God, we thank you for last night. We thank you for 900 young people giving their lives or rededicating their lives to Jesus. Father, we thank you. It's a fresh day and a fresh start for those young people. We thank you that Youth Alpha is firing up all across this state, from Horsham to Bendigo to Melbourne, Lord. This week, there's going to be literally hundreds and hundreds of kids. Lord, we pray that the discipleship process would start immediately in Jesus' name. But Father, we don't want to leave it there. Yesterday is done. Today is right here. Tomorrow is an opportunity for us to lift our faith and our generosity. Look for those opportunities, Lord, whether it's with a chocolate bar through a window where we're blessing somebody, or a smile or a kind word or an offer to pray. God, we pray that we would stay evergreen. We would not allow ourselves to become dusty, God. We would not allow ourselves to say, oh, we have good memories of those things, but it's not happening right now. Jesus' name, we pray. In Jesus' name, activate us, God. Get us rolling, God. Get us moving, God. We want to be your hands and feet. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody who had faith for that shouted amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it, mate. Church, why don't you stand? Why don't you stand as we close today? You know, we have a great opportunity coming up really soon to put this into action as a church. And Nick will talk about that in the month of October when it comes to Be the Love Month and Serve Day that's coming up. We have an opportunity. And I want to leave you with this. Let's not underestimate the power of generosity. Generosity can have everlasting impact. So let's ask God, as I would encourage you to do after every sermon, God, what do you want me to do with this? God, how can I apply this to my life so that you would be glorified and that others would be blessed? Let me pray for you, church. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you that it does what it needs to do in us. And Lord, we determine right now to leave this place and not go, yep, that was great, let's move on with life. But to actually say to you, Holy Spirit, how do you want this to be outworked in me? Lord, we want to see people come into your kingdom. And Father, if us and a simple act of generosity is the way that you're going to use, then Father, we are all for it. Whether it's out of our comfort zone or not, Father, we want to say yes to your call on our lives. So we thank you for church community. We thank you for your love that is evident in this place. We pray you have your way in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.